Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a nice little break. I'm pleased to introduce the next panel, which is a superstar panel to talk about scaling content. And I'll let Andrew kick it off.
Great. Thank you, Erica. Welcome back, everybody. So we talked in the opening that there's a lot of sort of bleeding of the lines between tracks and topics. And this is an exciting panel for me because we obviously have a content track, but we wanted to talk about how messaging is being better integrated into the sales funnel and sales approach. We've got some really great panelists here that are going to help us address that. So the topic is content as a tool for connecting and closing. And my panelist to my left is Marlo Fenney from Cisco. Next to him to my left is Samara Hamilton, who's with Spartan Motors. And then to my far left is Stephanie Causey with Aspect Software. A really great mix of different type of companies and industries and different stories related to this. Let me start out, Marlo, by talking to you a little bit about sales acceleration.
Sure.
Share a little bit of the case study of what you've done in that area. I'll let you.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks so much. So, Andrew, quick question for everybody. Show of hands, kind of where you are in your ABM journey. How many of you are either thinking about it or just starting a pilot? How many of you are sort of midway? Great. And how many of you have actually scaled an ABM program? Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So my comrades at arms there that have scaled, you know, I'm happy to share a drink with you later, sympathize. But for those of you who are trying to get there, you know, please come see me afterwards and we'll hopefully teach you some of our experiences. And that kind of relates back to the content piece, because what we found is there's an army of people doing Cisco, doing content at Cisco, but without the right context for the sellers, the content doesn't get used. And so I would imagine that you guys also find that's true. So what I wanted to share is just a little bit of our personalization program, ABM program, and how that's driving sales, and how we're taking that content and putting it into a vehicle that is much more specific and actionable for our sellers. So that's kind of the goal of why I'm trying to share this with you. And then I think hopefully it'll set up my friends here on kind of how to drive even better content. So we've done, I think, is one of the larger ABM programs globally at about 5,000 sellers. We have 20,000 at Cisco, so we already have a lot of folks on that. Those 5,000 sellers are responsible for about 75,000 customers. What we've seen through the screens I'm going to show you in just a minute is about a 4 to 5x over the industry response rate. The last program that we ran was somewhere between a 30 and 40% response rate to the emails that the reps sent to their customers. So if you're, you know, today getting an industry standard sort of 2%, I'd ask you to think about, you know, potentially leveraging this type of approach to do a little bit better maybe. The other thing we found, and we've been kind of rolling into this for about 3 years, is that the reps that participate in the program are significantly higher, between 4 and 20% higher in their quota attainment than the reps that aren't participating. They're also driving larger deals because they're having a more prescriptive, and you'll see in just a minute, conversation with that customer. We also, because we have such a huge install base at Cisco, a lot of our focus on our programs is around refreshing the old router switches, wireless, et cetera. And we found, again, that the reps that are using our programs for doing that are driving about 35% more refresh of that old gear. And then you can imagine that also applies to a software renewal and subscription rate. So this is our workflow at a really high level. Basically, the sales leadership, it's their program. I'm just the sort of the back end of it, if you will. And essentially, they get a personalized, every one of the reps gets a personalized email from their direct AVP. Each of those reps has their own personalized portal that we build through with the Follows folks who are here in the room. So they're an awesome partner. If you haven't talked to them, please do so. Each of those reps has the opportunity that they can see, as well as a way to get the enablement content they need, back to the content piece, as well as a way to directly engage the customer. And then finally, all that gets roped into SFDC. Now, the beautiful thing about just not that the workflow is simple, but also that the reps are doing things that the reps, I'm sorry, that the sales leaders can track. So there's what we call the money widget. So for somebody in the audience that wanted to see that earlier, this is where we basically do all the scrubbing on the front end. We actually put all the opportunity analytics into that, window, and they can see exactly which one of their accounts are the appropriate ones to match that sales motion. And then the content, to get back to that, is right there in the exact same window, along that exact same journey. And so you can, you know, kind of see the way that the content would get consumed so they get up to speed. There's an email that we already load and personalize for them that they can send to the customer, and they can personalize further. It can be to one or a whole bunch of folks, and our marketing people can send it on their behalf. And then there's a personalized portal for each of the customers that's based upon that technology, that rep, that sales motion that all gets tracked in one. And then, oh, this is somebody else's slide. And then what happens is that the reps that are using a program can in real time see exactly what's going on with that customer, not just whether or not they opened up the email, but they looked at specific content and which of the pieces of content that we used to tell the story was most interesting to them, so that they can be a lot more specific about, you know, what they want to do when they go engage that customer. Make sense?
That's really awesome. That looks cool.
Thank you, sir.
So Samara, you and I had an opportunity to work together for over the years, you, a couple of years ago now, joined Spartan Motors. So a lot of companies know the technology space, they know Cisco, they probably don't know Spartan Motors.
Sure.
Unique challenge you had to really build from the ground up and support a complex channel distribution story. Can you give some background on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. So as Andrew mentioned, we've worked together over many years across a couple other companies. And I previously came from software, so going to manufacturing was a big, big step for me. Finally, really nice to sell something tangible. But at the same time, as Andrew mentioned, there was kind of nothing in place. So we are a almost $700 million a year heavy-duty specialty vehicle and components manufacturer. We're based out of just outside of Lansing, Michigan. And we have about 2,300 employees across 7 states and 3 countries. We sell, our business is divided into 3 business units. So we have emergency response, where we manufacture fire trucks and fire truck components. RV, or specialty vehicles, we produce the chassis for high-end luxury Class A diesel RVs. Those price point out between $600,000 and $900,000 usually at the end of the day. And then we have a fleet vehicles and services portion of the business as well that sells to commercial fleets like Starbucks, FedEx, UPS, Coca-Cola, et cetera. So the business is very, very broad. And then within those different business units, the product verticals are extremely differentiated. When I got to Spartan Motors, not only did we not have content-based demand generation, right? We didn't have marketing automation. We didn't have a CRM. So we were really starting 2.5 years ago now when I arrived from the ground up. And we really didn't have a ton of content either. We had brochures that on average, I think, were about 2 to 4 years old across the business. So even sort of that deeper level in the sales funnel, messaging was old and everything had to be refreshed. So we really took a storytelling approach as we engaged with content for demand and started creating pieces that were both top and mid-funnel, but understood that across our business, we are truly B2B, but the only way that we win across all of those different product verticals and business units is to influence that end user or end driver or end owner's decision. So it's really a pull-through play for us. We sell through dealerships. On the RV side of the business, the customer is the OEM, so it's the coach manufacturer versus anyone else. So as we started our content development journey, we had to make sure that our pieces were architected in a way that would eventually uncover preference for individual coach manufacturers, for instance. Similarly, things got a little more interesting in January of last year when we acquired our biggest both customer and competitor on the fire truck side. So as I mentioned, we manufacture both components and complete fire apparatus, so the full truck, and we also make the cabin chassis. For 35 years, we made and sold the cabin chassis, so just the front part of the fire truck and the part that connects to the back wheels and tires, if you will, and sold it to what became our biggest competitor in the market when we became vertically integrated and purchased a company that made the box, if you will, as well. So in January, things got both more simple and more complicated when we acquired Smeal Fire Apparatus. So we will begin to see that preference spell out in our content as well. But it's a really nice way for us to determine brand preference in the market by starting and continuing those long-running conversations with potential buyers and sort of sussing out that preference over time. We do use now content marketing across all three business units. So we are starting and maintaining, like we said, those long-running conversations with potential buyers in both the commercial fleet as well as the RV chassis and also the emergency response business. And so we've gotten, I think we've started the emergency response content later in the funnel. And the fleet is very top of funnel, RV very top of funnel, and that's actually the nurture track for us that has been going on the longest. We've actually gotten to a point where we're able to use this content and the conversations that we've started as true competitive differentiators. So we have one competitor in the Class A diesel RV chassis space, which is Freightliner Custom Chassis. Everybody's probably heard of the brand Freightliner because of the heavy-duty over-the-road trucks. They could outmarket us, they could outspend us, and we are winning market share over and over again because we have tuned in and are starting to tell a story to potential buyers. This is one example. We actually started to segment our content based on the sex of the reader. So we realized that 90% of the purchase decisions in the RV space were being made by women. And yet they knew nothing about the chassis or the powertrain of the coach. They were simply picking on interiors, which is, of course, what I would like to choose a coach on, too, if I didn't know anything about the chassis. So we've really embarked on, with the help of Andrew and team, an education journey with the market, which has been very, very successful. This is a couple more of our pieces here. So we've tied it to Adventurous American Women. At the end of the day, I think that, and I think I mentioned too, our customers on the RV side are the OEMs, right? Those are the coach manufacturers. So this is a quick visual of content progression for us for trade show leads. We go to about 60 trade shows and events a year where we meet usually around 400 to 900 potential RV shoppers or buyers. They are very interesting. You should follow us on social if you want a good laugh sometime. They're pretty cute. But these folks, at the end of the day, and I think in under 9 months, since we turned the switch of the nurture on, if you will, we have referred to our OEMs rather than to the dealers because they preferred to do that handoff themselves. And that's the Integra and Newmar. Those are our top OEMs. We have referred, I think, 40 some leads, and six of those turned into sales. So six times around $750,000 is not too shabby.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Stephanie, tell us a little bit about Aspect Software. And you have kind of a classic challenge that I'm sure a lot of people in the room can relate to, that your sales team was kind of doing whatever they wanted to or felt like with messaging. And talk a little bit about how you've tried to normalize that.
Yeah, we definitely had cult of personality selling going on within our organization. We'd always had a great marketing team. We'd always had great content, but nobody was really using it. And we didn't really have a sales process. So about 2 years ago, our sales leadership kind of came together and said, look, we need to get some standardization around the way that we approach our potential customers, as well as we work with our existing customers for some of the ongoing sales and upgrades and things like that. So what they did is they came up with this, what we call our Aspect sales journey. And as part of that, we've tied the stages in Salesforce to content. Okay. So as a salesperson is kind of working through that engagement with either a potential customer or an upgrade, all along the way, we've got content that is constantly popping up and saying, hey, have you thought about this? Do you know this about the products that you're trying to sell? Did you know that it can be used for these five other things based on the industry? So we got very specialized in the types of content that we wanted to present to our customers to have a consistent message. Our marketing team has also done a great job of using things like Chatter to roll out new content and talk about, you know, hey, look, you know, we've got this great new content. And of course, this year it's all about we're rolling to the cloud. So everything has to be up-leveled within our marketing. And we really are having some very interesting conversations with our customers about, you know, they've been with us for 40 years since they bought that original IVR system 40 years ago. And now they're starting to think, well, maybe I want to do this cloud thing. So they're coming back and they're not really understanding. So we have to educate them. So we do quite a bit of education. And again, that consistent messaging is really important. And then about a year ago, we decided to kind of close the circle and we went live with Pardot for marketing. So now we've got from the very beginning, from the first time one of our potential customers even looks at a piece of content, it's all captured now. And it's this one big circle that we can get all the way to the end, and we can see we can gauge the temperature of our customers based on where they've gone, what they've read. Maybe they're interested in a new product because they looked at this particular, you know, piece of content that was on our website, or they watched this video that was on YouTube. And all of this now is kind of captured all together. And we can get that, you know, Salesforce always talks about the 360 degree view of the customer. Well, we now actually have that. It took us a couple of years to get there, but we now got an incredible platform that is extremely well maintained by our marketing team. I'm IT, by the way, if anybody hadn't figured that out.
You met one of the few IT people at the conference. Yeah. Interesting perspective.
And we've helped enable them through all of that. And a lot of it is because we've worked with Salesforce for a really long time, and we can help them understand, well, if you did these five things, you know, this other company I worked with, they did these five things and it was really great. And we've been able to kind of help enable and help them visualize what it is that they can actually accomplish. And, you know, we're starting to talk about now the next phase of things. That's what this is. They gave me the list of the future things that they want to talk about over the next few weeks. So we've had a very interesting journey. It's been, without the tools, we wouldn't have been as successful. But
it's interesting what you were talking about. So you've not only mapped the journey for them in terms of where a prospective buyer is, but also where customer marketing. It sounds like you do a lot of upselling, upgrading. That's been mapped out for them as well?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And we've, you know, all the way through to upsell, renew, all of that has been mapped out, and you can go one place and see it all.
That's great. That's where a lot of people want to be heading. Well, let me come back to you. You touched on, we didn't get to see, maybe you could expand on a little bit, the idea of being able to have intelligence. I'm not sure if it's in Salesforce or where, to know what sales reps have done, what they've used. What do you do with that? How does it work?
It's a really interesting piece of this, Andrew. So the visibility in SFDC for us looks a lot different than it does for you. It sounds like you've mapped every step of the journey in SFDC. At Cisco, SFDC is basically just used as a forecasting tool.
We go all the way down to service.
So there's other technologies that we're using, you know, Eloqua and some other stuff to try to track all that. And then when, you know, my Follows friends came along, we started to be able to put some new hooks into SFDC that let us in real time be able to tell the leadership whether or not those both reps were acting on the program and which customers they were engaging, which customers were then going. So it kind of solved what we call the week 10 problem. You know, 10 weeks into the quarter, the leadership is looking at all the salespeople going, where's the rest of our pipeline coming from, right? You guys have all had this problem. Uh-huh. So when we came up with a process, we put those extra hooks in so that from the day we launched the program, and again, because it's launched from the sales leadership down, from the top down, there's a really strong level of compliance and visibility because the reps are tracked essentially right away whether or not they're participating in the program. And when they send something to their customers, that's also tracked. So each of the AVPs has a list that we give them of reps that are playing and reps that aren't. And we invite the reps that aren't playing to
friendly invite.
Office hours, you know, detention, whatever you want to call it. And then make sure that they're trained and up to speed. And honestly, the process is so simple. We have about a 5-minute video that overviews to the reps how to do the process. But we've kind of put a box around it and said, this is so simple that everybody should and will be able to do this. And everything is gauged on what leads they either have or haven't acted on. And we create a little bit of a horse race between each of the areas. So it's pretty transparent. which reps and which areas are, you know, excelling, which ones aren't. And we've also seen, both a positive and a negative correlation, Andrew, which starts to be really interesting. There's a really strong correlation between the reps who are using the follows and the email capability that enables with their customers and the amount of pipeline and forecast that they're generating, and the reps who aren't. And both in a positive and negative way, the folks that aren't, you know, doing that are just not seeing it. So that level of visibility correlation has actually created another set of, I call it, challenges and opportunities at the same time, because now all the sales leaders are getting addicted to that level of metrics. So now they want to see for all of their, I actually build their QBR slides now, their quarterly business review, so that they can see exactly what each of their reps is doing.
Interesting. So Mark, you touched on a little bit that you've had some wins with OEMs, and they're big ticket wins. I was curious, were they threatened at all that you were doing marketing to the end user, or what's the response been like?
That's a great question. I think they were really confused at first. This conversation with the OEM started 2 years ago, and it's actually been such a nice proof point as we've gotten incremental wins and then also, you know, more sort of closed loop success for the rest of our business units within Spartan as well. In the beginning, I think they said, there's no way you can tell us the one person that clicked on this content is also going to be the person that eventually will buy this coach. And I said,
the sales cycles are probably long. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They're usually 18 to 48 months.
Wow.
And of course, these are really big ticket items for everyone on the RV side, as well as on the fire department, municipality side. And of course, on the fleet side as well. So there are many, many, many opportunities for great proof points along the way. I think once the OEM started seeing the leads come in, the argument was totally, you know, null and void, which was great. However, an interesting switch flipped. Then the dealers got really hungry, right? And so,
success.
So,
that's
great.
Exactly. So they're pushing us as well, which is really nice.
Stephanie, I want to go back to, so there's from a business operations standpoint, I can see that the people are excited. Was the sales team resistant? Are they now falling in line and saying, now I can see the value of sort of standardizing? And
very similar to Marlo, they weren't really given a choice. They were told this was what they were going to do. Mm-hmm. It was the Aspect sales methodology, so if you wanted to be at Aspect, you had to get on board. And very similar story that now that these metrics are becoming available, I actually, for the first time about 6 months ago, heard the president of our company was actually running his meetings out of Salesforce. That had never happened before, and it's a 40-year-old company. So we've been able to kind of bring in all of these connections and really get some great success from it. And our salespeople are starting to come on board. Mm-hmm. Of course, we've got our, you know, the ones at the top of the funnel. They're always going to be the ones that don't want to play by the rules. But they're starting to see, well, their competition is starting to come up, and they're using the content the way that it should be used and following the processes. And it's pretty amazing now to see the transformation in our sales organization.
And do they have you gotten a response that the Pardot instance enables them? Is it easier for them to get messages out?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially we've got what we call MQLs and SQLs, right? So sales and marketing qualified leads. And a lot of it will start with marketing because obviously the demand gen comes in that way. But we have sales also significantly using Pardot. We've got this inside sales team that's doing a lot of nurturing and building of the interest within those different customers. And they're working in Pardot, they're working in Salesforce, they're generating these emails and the content, everything kind of comes out of Pardot now. And we have all of that. And we can see, like you said, we can go all the way back to see they touched a piece of our marketing content. Yep. So it's, you know, here's this effectiveness.
That's great. So you're all doing some really cool things. Let me ask you to look out or share sort of the roadmap. What's next? How do you want to continue to grow on and expand what you've built?
So, you know, like Stephanie, you know, the success with the salespeople is leading to a lot more requests for programs. And we're in the pull model, so we're not a marketing, you know, team pushing stuff. The sales leaders are coming to us, which is a nice place to be in, right? You align to those sales priorities. What we see is a lot even further refinement of the content to get back to, you know, the topic here that might be by industry segment, geo, you know, user type, you know, role, any of those things. and getting more and more content that's going to let us be even more and more precise about both the targeting and the sales motions, and you know, to kind of connect to some of the other sessions that have been here, more sort of a demand-based way of going about that. So there's a lot of things that we can do there. And frankly, the other piece of it is scaling not just to the rest of our field sellers, but we've also done a couple of proof of concepts with our partners. And the partners are mad for this because it gives them the same level of sales accountability and tracking. And frankly, it's a competitive advantage for us because now we make it easier for them to sell Cisco as opposed to some of the other things. And there's, again, such a huge install base. So it would be partner-facing both content and data that map into the process that I showed for you.
Great. Samar, what about you? What's next for you?
I think sales enablement is next for us. We are nearing the end of our CRM implementation journey. Finally, we started sort of backwards. We implemented Pardot first just to get going and be able to speak with potential buyers. We've seen really nice success on the RV side. It is time to start implementing on the emergency response side and fix some of the issues on the fleet side. But our salespeople are really, really traditional. They're, you know, if they weren't in the room and there was no chance any of this would get back to them, right? Like, they're order takers, like, to that nth degree, and they don't think anything's wrong with that. So our efforts have largely been education-based, but I think showing them the way and showing that, you know, from a lead scoring standpoint, that we really can help help them spend their time where it's going to matter the most, that's where we'll win.
Yep, that's a great point. How about you, Stephanie?
Well, like I said, I got my handy piece of paper here.
They gave you a long list, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty long. One of the interesting points that we were talking about this morning was that we're moving further and further away from copy and more towards digital avenues, like I mentioned earlier with YouTube and some other channels. And basically, they're now talking about extending our use of the entire marketing cloud, potentially beyond Pardot. There's a lot of capabilities there. There's the journey mapping where we could actually visualize what we do with our customers. There's all kinds of things that we could do. So they're starting to talk about that, the Journey Builder in particular. And then we're also talking about extending our analytics to be more mature. I mean, I freely admit when I asked what are the things that our content marketing team is tracking, they said percentage of downloads and percent of sales views. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of things that we can do to help. And I sit four doors down from our head of content marketing. I have a feeling I probably shouldn't have told him that. But,
they're going to be knocking on your door.
Yeah, he's going to come visit me more often. But there's definitely some extended capabilities that we want to get into. We definitely want to continue to mature on the content continuum.
Yep. Marlo, is that part of the value of all this too? Is it getting the insights to it?
It's a really important point, Andrew. So it's funny because I was relating to Stephanie's piece quite a bit. We have an army, like I was saying before, of people creating content at Cisco, and there's the same type of, you know, hunger for metrics, how many people are downloading and using the content. And I won't recite the statistics because they're not all that great on the amount of content that gets consumed, but you won't be surprised, right?
Right.
Less than half or whatever that is. We've actually found through the context piece that I was just showing you, putting it into the right journey for the right customer, for the right seller, for the right opportunity at the right time, that consumption goes way up. Because now instead of one of our sales engineers just sort of going into the library and looking for a piece of content, this whole thing is opportunity driven. Mm-hmm. And what we found is in the areas where there's content that we're supplying the content as part of our programs, we're accounting for well more than half and sometimes 75% of the content consumption across the company, because it's through that program in a prescriptive, opportunistic manner, as opposed to somebody just sort of curiously trying to get up to speed on whatever the latest and greatest thing is. So yeah, big correlation there.
Awesome. All right, we have about a minute left. Any questions from the audience for the group? Any quick thoughts that before we wrap up on content, Samar, what you're seeing working there? Or
I just think the more specific you can get to the individual buyer, the better your odds are for conversions.
Yeah, and I know you come from the IT side, but do you get any sense of that from your team?
Probably the biggest piece of advice I would give marketing folks is IT's here to help. right? That's what we're here to do. And it's amazing what you can do together when you start brainstorming and really become true partners, because we're here to help. We'll make it easier.
You seem a lot more smart and collaborative than some IT people I've met.
Maybe a little bit. Might be why I'm successful.
Marlo, any thoughts on content?
So, and again, I came from the marketing content world, you know, as much as anybody else here. In a Twitter world where, you know, less is more, there's also a conflict, if you will, because a lot of marketing people still behave like they get paid by the word.
It's hard not to.
So what I would invite people to do is look at that and look for solutions. And so we're actually sort of starting to experiment with a little bit of, you know, for lack of a better term, micro content. So instead of, you know, sending somebody, you know, five different documents that are all 20 pages each, you know, what are the little snippets and video, of course, you know, personalizing all that stuff. And there is a personalization aspect to it. But, you know, just like our sellers are way more ADD than perhaps, you know, we even realize, they only have, you know, 5 minutes or less to understand what's going on and act on it. We kind of have to treat our customers in some way the same way, just to, you know, get to the next stage and breaking that journey down into, you know, I thought you did a great job, Stephanie, kind of talking about how that journey gets broken down. You can break that journey down into finer and finer steps, and the content can map to those finer and finer steps of the journey. And being able to, you know, kind of back to the measurement side of it, if the better you can track that, the more, number one, you know, kind of KPIs you can drive back to sales, but the more value that you see from the content that you can then go use to get the right content delivered for your customers.
Awesome. Well, we're out of time, but I would encourage you to come up and meet the group and share some other experiences with them. So thank you all for your time. Thank you all for your insights.
Thanks, Andrew.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks, guys. What an awesome